Welcome to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls, where we have real conversation about real faith and how to live it out in the real world. Yeah. I'm your host, Evelyn, and this podcast is connected to our weekly Tuesday night Bible study through Beyond the Church Walls ministry. Every week we gather on Tuesday nights, we open the Word of God and dig into what it really means to follow Jesus. Then here on Thursdays, we come to recap that lesson and talk through what we've learned, so those of you who couldn't attend can still be a part of the conversation. Today, we're continuing our study through John Bevere's series called, and this week we covered Lesson 9, Stay the Course. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, as always, I'm here with my co-host, my daughter, Crystal.
Hey everyone, and I'm so excited about this particular lesson, because it really hits home for anyone who has ever wondered why God's process sometimes feels long and difficult. And I'm sure we've all experienced moments where God places something on our hearts, whether it's a dream or a calling or a direction, and we get so excited because we believe God is leading us somewhere, but then time passes, and sometimes nothing seems to happen. In fact, sometimes life actually becomes harder.
Yeah.
And that's when people begin to wonder. They might wonder, did I misunderstand God? Did I miss something? Or why does this process feel so long? This lesson really helped unpack that question and showed us that what often feels like delay is actually a part of God's plan.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we all love the promise,
right?
But we truly want to resist that process, you know.
Yeah.
Our culture, as we can see, teaches us to expect instant results. And we see that because of technologies, like we want everything at our fingertips right mm-hmm. now, instantly. But God doesn't work that way, mm-hmm. you know. God is not just concerned with where we end up. He is deeply concerned with who we become mm-hmm. along that path,
right.
along the way to the process. So for him, what's more important is that process and who we become in the end.
That's right.
So Crystal, before we jump in, as always, we will make some things pretty clear. This podcast and Bible study discussion are for biblical teaching and personal reflection purposes only. We reference materials from Christian teachers and resources, including John Bevere's Called series, but this conversation reflects our personal discussion and spiritual application as we study the scripture together. So our goal is not to replace your own study of the Bible, but it's just to encourage you to seek God personally, read his word, and grow deeper in your own walk with Christ. So before we dive into the study, I want to properly acknowledge that our Tuesday night study is based on the Called series by John Bevere, mm-hmm. available through Messenger X app, which you can download for free. We are not affiliated with Messenger X or John Bevere's ministry, and this podcast is not an official teaching from their organization. We are not reproducing or redistributing the course material, so we strongly encourage you access the full Called series directly through the Messenger X platform mm-hmm. for the complete teaching experience. We are also not pastors, licensed theologians, or biblical scholars. We are just believers committed to studying scripture faithfully and growing together in Christ. Everything we share here should be weighed against the Word of God and brought before the Lord in prayer.
Yes.
With that being said, we're going to move into prayer. Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word and for the calling you placed on every believer's life. Lord, as we talk through this lesson today, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to understand your process in our lives. When the journey feels long, help us trust your timing. When the road feels difficult, remind us that you are refining us. Holy Spirit, guide this conversation today and speak to the hearts of those listening. Help us grow in patience, faith, humility, and obedience. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Lesson 9 is called Stay the Course. And honestly, this lesson addresses something that almost every believer struggles with. I know I certainly do. Because when we first understand that God has a calling for our lives, it's exciting. But what we often aren't prepared for is the process that comes before that fulfillment of that calling. And that process, as we discussed last night, often includes waiting, testing, uncertainty, growth, and certainly refinement. He talked a lot about refinement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of our problem is that we live in a world that values speed.
Yeah.
And I think that's why believers, I think that's why we struggle. Because everything today is designed to happen quickly, but God doesn't work quickly because he's not going to rush us.
That's right.
He is shaping us. He's shaping our character into the person we need to be to fulfill the promise he has for us. And that shaping takes time. It's definitely not done overnight.
That's true.
And I think that's why believers, I think that's why we struggle.
Yeah, I agree. And as we know, God's goal is not simply to get you to your calling.
No.
You know, his goal is to transform us into the kind of person who can actually carry the calling without destroying us that he wants us to be in. So, because influence without character can be dangerous. Oh, we've seen that over and over.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're going to go over some biblical examples of the process we just talked about. So one of the clearest examples, I think, of this process is Joseph,
yes.
The story of Joseph. And I know the musical Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is one of your dad's really absolute favorite musicals. So if you've never watched that, it's great. You should take the time to watch it. But anyways, Joseph received a dream from God about his future leadership. But the road to that promise included a lot of betrayal, some slavery, false accusations, and prison. And the journey lasted about 17 years before the promise was fulfilled.
Yes, and what's amazing about Joseph's story is that every place he ended up was preparing him.
Yeah.
So let's look at Potiphar's house, for example. There he was learning leadership.
Yep.
When he was sent to prison, he was learning patience and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So when the moment came to stand before Pharaoh, he was ready. He needed those trials. So his process is being refined.
Yeah, exactly. And when Joseph finally faced his brothers again, he said something pretty powerful. If we look at Genesis 50:20, and you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good.
Yeah.
So Joseph could see God's hand in every painful season he actually went through.
Yeah.
And now there were a couple more examples we can talk about. Let's talk about John the Baptist, right? What process did he go through?
So John the Baptist, if you don't know, he was born to Zechariah and Elizabeth. So Zechariah was a Jewish priest, right? Both of them were in their old age.
Yeah, old age. They were old.
When they were basically promised John. And while Zechariah was serving in the temple, the angel Gabriel told him, and we'll see it, you can see it in Luke 1:13, your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you shall call his name John. But he actually doubted the messenger, as Zechariah did.
Yeah.
And because of that, he was mute.
Yeah,
he until was unable the day to speak. Basically John's birth.
Yeah. Well, and actually, because everybody was surprised he was going to be named John.
They thought for sure they're going to name him after Zechariah.
Right. And you'll see that in Luke 1:20.
Yeah.
You know.
And so.
So Luke 1:20 says you'll be silent and not able to speak until the day these things take place. So Gabriel basically said, "I'm gonna, you know, the Lord's gonna shut your mouth and you're gonna be mute until this child is born for your disobedience."
Yes.
Or for your unbelief, I should say.
Yep. And we can see in scripture, John 1:6, where it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the importance of that scripture is specifically being sent by God.
Yeah.
So when God sends you to do something, you're going to go in his authority and not your own authority. And that's very important. And then speaking of going in God's authority, it reminds me, because we're in the Bible recap also, and we're right now reading Numbers, and this passage that John mentioned actually made me think about looking at the Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
In Numbers, I don't remember the exact chapter, but they're brought out of Egypt, and they send 12 scouts to look at the land that God promised them.
The promised land, yeah.
And only two of the 12 came back with good reports. And the other 10 were basically saying that they're not going to be able to conquer it. And so God became angry and then to told them that, you know what, you want to die in the wilderness, you're going to die in the wilderness.
That's right.
You are not going to go to the promised land. And so the next day they go to Moses and they're telling Moses, okay, we've changed our minds. We're basically going to go now and we're going to conquer it. And Moses is like, do not go because God's authority is not with you.
That's right.
And they didn't listen.
It was if they would have been obedient in the first place.
Right. Yeah. And they didn't listen. And God was not with them. And they ended up being defeated. So.
Right. So that basically tells us exactly what you're saying. Like, yeah. And what John had talked about is, if you're not doing something in the authority of God, you right. shouldn't be doing it because yeah. the outcome will not be good.
Right. And it's just really cool to see it. You know, like we're talking about, you know, John the Baptist, but we can see it
referenced other places.
In other, like yeah. the Old Testament, which is awesome. That's why the Word of God is so amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So interestingly enough, too, about John in the wilderness. So just a little bit about him. He only preached, like you said, I think John said 6 months, but when I did a little research, it said possibly up to a year.
Okay.
So he was like in the wilderness from, they said, 20, his ministry started, he started preaching around 28 or 29 AD, and he was dead in 30 AD.
Yeah.
So, you know, so that, I think goes to show you that it doesn't matter how short your time right. is. If you're doing God's calling, I mean, because look how the influence he had.
Oh, yeah.
A huge amount of influence, right? Mm-hmm. And he even baptized Jesus. So,
yeah, he said he was unworthy to baptize right? Jesus, but Jesus, like, you're the one who needs to baptize me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's you. So let's move on to another biblical example, and that one would be Moses. So Moses was 40 years old when he realized he was chosen to deliver the Israelites from Egypt.
Right.
Right. So Moses had to go through what process? So what do you got in your notes for that process he went through?
So Pharaoh actually tried to kill him at one point. And then he had to flee Midian.
Yeah.
And then when that Pharaoh died, I believe, he had to live in Midian for like 40 years as a shepherd. And then at some point he was able to go back because that Pharaoh, like everyone who wanted him dead, had basically died out.
And right. Then, so he lived out as a shepherd for 40 years out right. away. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Moses was, like we said, roughly 80, 81 years old, God appeared to him in a burning bush and basically said, now I'm just paraphrasing, but he was going to go and save his people
right.
from Pharaoh. could you imagine? I couldn't imagine.
No, it's a lot to have to go through. So that's the powerful part of the lesson for Moses. Moses knew he had a calling at 40,
yep.
but God didn't use him to deliver the Israelites until he was 80, which was another 40 years, give right. or take, obviously, a year. So in comparison to Joseph, he had a lot more years of preparation. So yep. it doesn't matter how long you're being in the wilderness, the Lord will give you the amount of time needed to prepare you for your calling.
Mm-hmm.
So where he had 40 years of preparation, we had David who had about 14 years of preparation, which we're getting ready to get into.
Yeah.
Joseph, I can't remember exactly what his was, but he had 17 years maybe. What we know is the amount of time you spend in the wilderness is obviously dependent on God and your trust and your obedience in him on how long you're going to be in that wilderness. So another biblical example that we discussed was David.
Mm-hmm.
David is anointed king, but he wasn't installed right away as king.
Right.
So what says you?
So the prophet Samuel actually came to David's father's house and anointed the young shepherd. So David was anointed, but the reigning king at that time was Saul. So David had the promise at that time, but not the position. So David gains fame because he kills Goliath. In 1 Samuel 18:7, it says, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. So we're starting to see that Saul, King Saul, is becoming jealous and threatened by David's popularity. And that jealousy actually turns into paranoia, where Saul yeah. actually tried to kill him with a spear. And if you want to learn, or if you want to see that story, that's in 1 Samuel 18:11. So Saul has decided now that David, he just has to die, right? So if I'm not mistaken, one of Saul's sons, who was David's really good friend, tells him, and he flees, and he lives in caves and the wilderness, and he's moving from place to place for, I actually don't even know how long he's in the wilderness.
David?
Yeah.
I think David was in the wilderness for about 14 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 14 years is what John Bevere had said.
Okay. So there, so Saul and then his son Jonathan, that was one that was really good friends with David, they actually were killed in battle with the Philistines.
Yeah.
And so only after Saul's death did David become king. And ironically, it's not even ironically, but it just shows David's character. He actually had two times to kill Saul himself and didn't take him.
Right, right, exactly. So we've talked about Joseph. We've talked about John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Moses and David. And those are just a few. I mean, there are more, but those are the ones we discussed about, you know, this process that we go through. Those are biblical examples of the process. And so why does God allow the process? So John Bevere had shared that during a painful season, he actually asked God, like, why am I going through this season? Why is it so difficult? And God had revealed that there were impurities in his heart that needed to be refined.
And that refining process is something every believer experiences. Trials reveal things inside us that we didn't realize were there. Those can be pride, fear, impatience, control. And God uses different seasons to expose those things so he can transform us.
Exactly. And Malachi 3 describes God as a refiner of silver.
Mm-hmm.
So the refiner doesn't destroy the metal. It just removes all the impurities. That's what God is doing, you know, in our lives.
Right. And I love the example that John Bevere gave when he was talking about
gold, his ring.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The wedding band. So he says on his hand, you know, his ring looks like it's pure gold.
Right.
But when it's refined by fire, it's obviously melted down, and you'll see impurities like copper, lead. They said those impurities were always there. So when you're looking at ourselves being refined by the fire, what, like I mentioned earlier, like pride, fear, anger, those things will come to the surface as we're being refined. And it's interesting, John Bevere talked about where God told him, because he's dealing with some anger issues.
Well, he asked God, remember?
Yeah, he asked God.
He's like, ask God, like, why am I going through this?
Yeah, why am I struggling? Know? And then, so God says, basically told him, well, if you are blaming others for, let's say, your angry outburst, that will go back down. Versus if you go to God, be like, okay, listen, I'm submitting this to you. I know I've got a problem. He will take that. And he'll ladle out
all the impurities.
That impurity.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that was pretty cool. So we are supposed to submit those fleshy impurities to God.
Right.
Instead of just blaming others. We got to take accountability for them. I thought that was pretty cool.
Right. And trying to do things in our own strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because we cannot do those types of, I mean, we can act like we can, but we certainly can't. I mean, I know there's things that I've been submitting to the Lord for quite some time, or at least I think I am.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm still struggling, so I'm like, but am I really then? You know, am I fully surrendering those things to him? Because if I fully surrender to him, he will help us through. And again, it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's just like all, this whole process is a, like you said, like it, you just throw it into the fire, the Lord being the fire, and he's going to take out all the nasty, and he's going to, you know, turn it to good and help us through those processes.
Make us more like Jesus.
That's right. That's right. So I love that. So, you know, this part of the lesson, Crystal, you know, it really made me think, and I reflected on my own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been many seasons in my life where I knew that God had placed something on my heart, but the path looked nothing like I expected.
Mm-hmm.
And there were waiting seasons, and there are currently some serious waiting seasons for me as we're talking actually through this right now. And there have been seasons where I've questioned what God, like, God, what are you doing? Like, you know, am I truly listening? And I'm finding that is the waiting period. But now looking back, and we always talk about hindsight, it's always 2020. And I think God gives us that 2020 vision so that we can see and we can clearly see in those seasons where he was and how he did not waste them. He was just refining us, refining the things in me that I didn't even realize needed to change to get to the destiny.
Right.
Right.
And when you're in the middle of the process, I mean, it really just feels like a delay to you.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, hindsight, later that's when you realize, well, God was protecting you.
Right.
Yet preparing you at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So if you're listening right now, let me ask you something. Are you in a season where you feel like God showed you something, but you're still waiting for it to happen? If that is you, hear this clearly. Waiting doesn't mean God has forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting does not mean the calling has disappeared.
Mm-mm.
He still called you to it. He'll get you to it. Sometimes waiting means God is doing the deeper work first that's necessary.
Yeah.
You know, you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at now, like there's another important concept that John talked about. And that other important issue is in the lesson was the danger of creating an Ishmael, right? So Abraham tried to fulfill God's promise through his own efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision created consequences that lasted generations. Now we know the devil wants you to birth an Ishmael.
Yeah.
The Lord does not, so.
And when waiting becomes painful, the temptation is for us to take control.
Yeah.
But when we try to force God's promises, we often create problems instead, a.k.a. creating an Ishmael.
Truth. So God's promises don't require manipulation. If something is requiring you to manipulate to get to that, what you quote unquote think is the promise, it is not of God. Okay. Because he does not require that.
No.
It definitely requires trust and faithful obedience for sure.
Yep.
And one key scripture in this lesson I found was 1 Peter 1:6-7. And you talked about that. You already mentioned that, which was when John talked about the test, the trials, which is test and refine our faith, just like fire refines gold.
Right.
You know, that's, it's important.
Yeah. And just like gold becomes more valuable after refinement, our faith becomes stronger after trials. And God is more concerned about our faith.
Well, that's true. So here's some notes that I took from last night, and some kind of, they'll be kind of like our recaps. Calling requires faithfulness in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So God is far more concerned with who you're becoming than how fast you arrive there.
Mm-hmm.
So don't skip the steps. Don't promote, you know, don't do self-promotion and don't shortcut character. If you can't be trusted in the small stuff, in the hidden assignments, he will not trust you in the big public ones.
Yeah.
Promotion comes from God, not people. When you try to elevate yourself, you step out of God's timing. So God, he tests our hearts, right? He's watching what is your motives. He's watching to see whether you're serving or striving.
Mm-hmm.
And John did talk about that. Like he talked about, and I know I've done it too. I've done things. You do things sometimes in your own striving, like you said, in your own strength. You're like, this is a better way. I can do this quicker. But that is not what gets us to our true calling. True calling is never secured, like I mentioned earlier, in manipulation or networking. It's secured strictly in obedience and faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3, hidden seasons are not wasted. The quote unquote in-between seasons, the years that you spend in the wilderness, like all the 4 biblical characters that we spoke of, that's a training ground. Right? So David had sheep, Joseph had the prison, Moses had the desert, you know?
Yeah.
So God's building our backbone before he builds any platform or anything else he has in store for you, whether it's being a house mama, whether it's being a pastor on a platform, whether it's just whatever it is, being like me, being, you know, I'm a nurse, we do ministry now, outreach, whatever your calling is, he is going to build your character before he allows that.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4, offense and pride can certainly derail the destiny. So this lesson warns strongly that being overlooked or corrected or misunderstood, that's part of the test. That's part of the wilderness. If offense takes root, your calling will potentially, if not probably, stall. So you can't carry authority if you're easily wounded. Mm-hmm. And we did talk about that. We've seen that in characters of people. If you are like constantly, everybody offends you or everything's offended, you know, you are literally just not going to be able to carry authority. People are not going to look at you as a person of authority. So remember, God is our beacon. He's our provider, right? So here's our final challenge for all of us. If God has placed something on your heart, if you know there is a calling He is leading you toward, don't quit when the process gets difficult. Stay faithful, stay obedient, stay surrendered, because the same God who gave the promise is the God who will bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6 reminds us, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So Crystal, do you have anything to add before we close? And I'll have you close us in prayer if you would.
Father God, help us trust your process. Help us remain faithful when the road feels long. Strengthen our faith and refine our hearts. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I want to thank you for joining us for this week's Bible study recap. If this conversation encouraged you, share this episode with someone who may be walking through their own process right now. And remember, God's process may be difficult, but it's never wasted. Until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. We'll see you next Thursday. God bless.